A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Tainus Tesvav, Tainus 15a, pagination page 29. We have the privilege of starting the new Mishnah, which starts the second Perek. Seder Tainios Ketzad. What was the order by the fast days? We're referring to the fast days when there was no rain, so they had a special system, an order by which they would have fast days and days of prayer. We are referring to over here the system of seven fasts, which did not come until after they already had a series of threes beforehand. They would take out the ark to the outside in the city, to the open area of the city. We were setting up for public tefillah, public prayer, moving things out of the Beis HaKnesses where things are tsanua, private. We were moving it to the public, which is an additional level of busha, of embarrassment, that it's come to this, that we acknowledge that we're desperate for the rain. V'nosnim efer makla al gabei hateva. And they would place ash from an oven onto the ark, onto the aron, over Rosh HaNasi, as well as onto the head of the prince, the leader of the people, over Rosh Av Bezdin, and on the head of the court. This was typical, and it exists even today. There are different leaders of the congregation. Some of it is a counterbalance, some of it is to complement each of their strengths, but they work together for the benefit of the tzibur. So both leaders would get ash placed on their head. And then each person would put on his own head. We'll have to discuss that a little bit more at length when we turn over to the second side of the blot. Hazakin Shabohen, the elder amongst them, Omer Lefneim Divrei Kivushim, would say in front of them words that would subdue them, that would capture their hearts, that would motivate them for the right perspective. And the thrust of that presentation would be, Achenu, my brothers, lo nemar ba'anshe ninve vayara lekim esakam ve'estaanisam. It doesn't say by the people of Nineveh, the quintessential example of tshuva, that they literally turned everything around in the story described in the book of Yonah. So it doesn't say over there that Hashem saw their sackcloth and their fast days, even though they did that. Ela vayara lekim es ma'aseihem. What's said is that Hashem saw their actions, kishavu midarkam hara'a, that they returned from their bad ways. And therefore, ultimately, your behavior has to improve, and all of these outward displays of tshuva are not really the essence of what Hashem is looking for. They're motivators, they're acts of clarity, but ultimately, the person has to do tshuva. Uva Kabbalah hu Omer, we find this as a directive as well in the book of Yoel, not just an anecdote, but a directive. V'kiru levavchem va'al bigdeichem. And tear your hearts, so to speak. Have a change of heart and not just your clothing, the outward display. Will Amitzishem come back to part of the remaining section of this Mishnah tomorrow? Right now, let's turn over and get a little bit of elaboration regarding this ash that was applied to the heads of the leaders, and then everybody else would apply it on their own to themselves. So the Gemara, towards the bottom of Amud Beis, wonders that if something is Gedula, if it's an act of prominence, of honor, then we start from the gadol, from the leader. But if it's something that's klala, that's something that's degrading, we would typically start from the katan, from the lower one. Why is it that we award the leaders this distinction of disgrace before everybody else? What's going on over here? So you'll see the Gemara's response, five lines from the bottom in the middle of the line, that the Gemara's perspective is, Ha chashivusa lididhu. This is indeed an act of honoring the leaders, the Nasi and the Avbezdin. The Amri Luhu, the message that we're giving to them is, Atun chashivusu lemiboi alan rachmi akule alma. You are important enough to daven for everyone. In other words, the onus of this situation rests upon you. You're responsible. And it's placed upon them. And then from that, everybody else will continue and put it on themselves. But there is distinction here, and the Gemara accepts that as a chashivusa, as an act of honoring them, at the same time resting upon them responsibility for the people. The Gemara continues at the end of the next line, Nasi va'avbezdin nami nishkulu inhu v'ninchu birashayhu. Why can't the Nasi and the Avbezdin, these leaders, place the ash on their own head? Why is it that the people have to put it on them? Maishuna deshokil inish acharino umanach luhu. What's the significance and what's the point that someone else has to put it on them? Why can't they do it for themselves? Amar Rabbi Abba de min Kisri, Rabbi Abba explained, Eina doma mispayesh me'atzmo lemispayesh me'acherim. You can't compare someone who's humiliated on his own, he accepts it on his own, to someone who's humiliated from others. Apparently, when someone else does it to them, there's more humiliation. Now, one can pause over here for a moment and wonder who asked anybody to be humiliated. But apparently there's some dimension over here of telling the leaders, this is your responsibility. The fact that there is no rain rests on the leaders as their responsibility, because a leader has the ability to daven and to protect those in their charge from problems. And right now, we're in dire straits, and you need to daven well and get us out of this. It's interesting that this halacha of mispayesh, humiliated because someone else did it, comes up in the laws of kriya, tearing in mourning on the passing of a close relative. The Yad Ephraim, in his synopsis of Hilchos Kriya, in My Shulchan Aruch, it's page 402 in Yoredei Gimel, he writes, Kol Kriya Tov Shetiya Ayidei Acher Demispayish Mimenu. When Kriya is done, it should be done by somebody else, upon the person who is mourning. V'ikma agmas nefesh tfei, because there's more embarrassment on the mourner, and therefore more pain. And the significance of that is, v'hu shosek, and he remains silent, u'mekabel olav es dino, and he's accepting Hashem's judgment. This is the moment where he's going to say, Dayan ha'emes, that Hashem is the true judge, and by accepting it from someone else doing it, there's greater, again, the word here seems to be humiliation, more pain, that he's accepting it from someone else. On a practical level, there's an interesting discussion that really he's supposed to do kriya for himself. So how can someone else do it for him? Is this considered a mitzvah shebegufo, something that he has to do himself? You have to put on tefillin on your own arm. On the other hand, someone can help you put the tefillin on your own arm. What status does this kriya have? And therefore, the minig is that someone from the Chevra Kadisha or their representative starts the tear, and then the Avel himself, the mourner himself, continues the tear and does the act of tearing. And like this, we fulfilled everything. But again, going back to this theme, typically when we talk to an Avel, lo aleinu, we don't talk in such a manner. We talk about, how help you with this. I'll help you with this. We don't talk like this, but it's interesting, presumably based on this Gemara, that there is an act of accepting Hashem's judgment when the tear is at least partially thrust upon the person, so to speak, rather than him doing it himself. Continuing on the top of the next Amud, V'heicha manach luhu, and where would they place this ash? Again, I did a comparison here to kriya, tearing by a mourner, but our topic was ash. They were placing ash in our Mishnah's description. They were placing the ash on the leaders of the congregation. V'heicha manach luhu, where would they place that ash? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, B'makom tefillin, in the place where tefillin are worn, on the forehead, or above that spot, Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, by way of comfort, in Yeshaya, Losum la'avei leitzion, loses lahem per tachas efer, to give those who have mourned for Tzion glory in place of ash. Rashi tells us pe'er refers to tefillin, and apparently they were placing ash in the place of the glory, in the place of the tefillin. And the description is, you're going to get back the glory instead of the efer, instead of the ash. Clearly, the location of the ash of mourning is in the same place as the tefillin. And that's indeed how we practice it when we place ash on the forehead of a chassan before the chuppah. That is the location that we place it, in the location where tefillin are worn. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.